and welcome to episode 203 of the Awesome Comics Podcast. I'm Vince Hunt, and this week I'm recording this without the company of my usual compadres Dan Butcher and Tony Esmond. For as I'm recording this, it's less than 24 hours after we packed up and left the Excel Centre after three whole days of MCM London, which was a massive show filled with so many brilliant indie creators, as well as the pop culture madness you see everywhere in the marketing, etc., that we're all used to seeing on social media and Facebook and all that. It was a total sort of sensory overload. And next week we're doing a Three Amigos show, and we're going to be breaking down sort of the highs and the lows of such an event. We're going to be honest about it, but it was a lot of fun as well. So once we fully recovered and had time to process it all, because anyone who's been to an MCM, tabler, if you're an exhibitor or just a visitor, you know, there's so much to take in. So we're going to talk about that next week. So look out for that next Monday. However, we did manage to get a few interviews. I managed to take the recorder and run around and talk to some people. And some of those tabling at the event were, there's a familiar favourite, as well as a few sort of new voices whose work you might be aware of if you've listened to us over the past year or so. But it was a good opportunity to interview them at a show. And who knows, you might hear them like on a show properly in the future. So I'll tell you what, rather than listening to me waffle on for ages, without further ado, just listen to the audio, enjoy it. And it's all coming direct from the floor of MCM London 2019.
Right then, folks, join us from the shop floor at London MCM.
Live from the shop floor of MCM, myself and Dan Butcher are at the Awesome Pod Table.
Yes, it's all go here, not really.
Yeah. It's day two. Yes. We've already had the Friday, and we've gotten over that.
Yeah.
We're tired, but we're raring to go. We made some learnings from yesterday, didn't we?
Learnings and adaptations. Obviously, we got the table banner in the post, so I went in and got that this morning. Vince has relaid out the table, made it a lot simpler.
We both did. Go on.
Okay, we both
did. I'm not a monster.
And we refined the table design.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot clearer. Yeah, I mean, big shout out to Gav Mitchell and Emily Owen, who are our table neighbours for the weekend, and they've been helping us out and helping us keep things tidy as well. So it's good to have good table neighbours, isn't it?
Oh, God, yeah, definitely.
I don't think this is going to be a quiet day, but on the quiet moments...
Yeah, you get someone to talk to, chat to. The bants.
Yeah, so we're going to try and get some interviews during this weekend. It'll probably be in the quieter moments.
Yes.
I mean, as I'm disrupting Dan as we speak, because he's just drawing live.
I'm currently doing a John Wick for Vince.
Yeah. I'm starting a new commission idea. I've already got my MacReady's from The Thing, but my new thing is now John Wick. I may have talked another artist into doing one as well. But yeah, we're looking forward to the day. It's going to be busy.
Yeah, I hope it's going to be very busy.
Yeah. As we're talking, it's the morning and things are just warming up. You can probably hear lots of hustle and bustle in the background. We might not be able to get too many interviews today if it gets really busy, but we're going to run around and there's lots of creators who we haven't talked to before here.
I had that callback from Sarah's episode when you get the jitters on the Friday.
You had your moment.
You reminded me that Friday is quiet.
And I don't know how I managed through Friday. It was just sugar, caffeine, and fumes.
Yeah, you did good, man. You did good.
Oh, thank you.
You did good.
Yeah, but we both had a good night's sleep. Good meal. Big shout out to Tony Esmond, who's rocking it on the no brow table right now.
He's literally just non-stop.
Non-stop. They're going to do big business today. Of course, we'll get a bit of audio with him later as well. But it's good. So catch you later. I would say wish us luck, but this would be in the past, wouldn't it? Yeah. So that's kind of
doing that timey-wimey
stuff. Is there anything you want to say to the listeners before we get on with the day?
Just to stay awesome.
God, I love you. Okay, I am here at MCM with the lovely Emily Owen.
Hello.
Haven't spoken to you on the show for quite some time, have we?
No, it's been a while.
Yeah, and you've been quite a busy girl.
Yeah, just a bit lately.
Yeah, with comics. We just want to make sure. Yeah, with comics.
Yes.
Because you've released quite a few things since we spoke to you. What have you currently got at the moment?
So what's launched today or this weekend has been The Adventures of Pup and Grumpicorn, which we kick-started last month.
And I've been looking forward to for about over a long time. It's amazing.
So we got the print copies earlier in the week, got them sent out to all the UK backers, so they should have had theirs. And then it went on general sale at MCM London on Friday. And, yeah, here it is on the table.
And you had, I mean, as a book, I mean, tell us a bit about what it is first before we get into it.
So it's the adventures of an excitable puppy and his grumpy unicorn friend, and they go on adventures together.
Is it based on anything?
Well, it's kind of me and Gavin a little bit. Oh, I don't know.
Do I ask who is who? Who's the puppy?
No. You might think it was one way around, but it's actually probably not that way around.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's definitely the grumpy one. So, they go on their adventures, different places, different settings. There's always terrible jokes.
Yeah. And also, you've got like activities in the back of the book. Because it's an all ages book.
It is, absolutely. It's mostly aimed at kids, but there's stuff in there for everyone, and it's so beautifully drawn by Gavin that it's really beautiful to look at as well.
And it's really laid out, the design as well.
Really good. I'll take credit for the design.
And
there are puzzles in the back for kids, and a colouring page, and a word search, and all that sort of thing. So it's, you know, it is aimed at kids, but because there's no swearing or sex or anything like that in there.
And obviously you've been our table neighbours for the convention, which means I was first-hand witness to a beautiful moment this morning, which got you a little bit emotional. You might get emotional now, might you?
I know.
Yeah, so just tell us exactly what that moment was, what happened.
So a little girl dressed as, I think she was dressed as Spider-Man, was she? I'm pretty sure she was Spider-Man.
Oh,
anyway,
okay.
She was dressed as a superhero, came to the table, and her mum told us that they'd got the copy in the post of Pup and Grumpicorn yesterday, and that her mum hadn't been able to read it yet because the little girl had been reading it all day and wouldn't let her read it. And the grin on her face was just, it was huge. And so she loved it, and that kind of made me cry.
And she's even done like most of the activities as well.
She said she's done all the puzzles. She's going to do the colouring in page later today, but she'd done all the puzzles already.
I mean, no matter what convention you're at, no matter how busy or how quiet it is, that, just that one moment, that's what we do it for.
Yeah, that got me in the heart, that did a little bit. And it was just the grin on her face was just, oh, it was wonderful.
And that's totally what this audience is.
Absolutely, so whatever happens today, I'll be in a good mood today.
Because you never know, don't you? Because sometimes the books go out and you're not quite sure how they're received.
No.
Especially if they go out to people that aren't on social media or, I mean, let's face it, little kids that go read your book.
This was the thing that we realised kind of doing once we did the Kickstarter, was that it's a tough sell because kids don't have access to Kickstarter. It's very much an adult, an adult to be able to buy things on there. So, you know, it's a little bit more of a tough sell to kickstart something like that. So it needed to be real and in the real world for kids to be able to see it, be able to pick it up and look at it, and then nag their parents to buy it for them.
Yeah.
So having some feedback from kids that had seen it, so we've had a couple this weekend, and it's just been
and it inspires super cool. you to do more, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely,
So, and what else have you got on your table as we speak?
So we have a Trolltooth Wards, the big book. We have Fraser Fanzine, and we have Brain Shoodles as
How have they been going since?
Everything has been selling quite evenly, which is a bit unusual for a convention for us, because usually if something like the Trolltooth Wars does well, then the other titles don't do as well, and vice versa. But actually, we've done an even spread of everything.
Yeah.
So it's a show where all sorts of people are coming to, rather than more specific types.
And you've got something for sort of everyone.
We've got something for everyone now, so... Yeah.
So if anyone wants to check out like the books and like Pup and Grumpicorn, of which I personally hope there's going to be more.
Absolutely. So you can follow us on Twitter. We are Happy Clam. The book will be going on our Etsy shop after the weekend. You know, we obviously wanted.
I think that's quite important. You fulfilled the Kickstarter. You did all of that before you put it on.
Absolutely. I wanted to make sure, certainly, that the UK backers had it in their hands. So the people who made it able for us to print it had it in their hands before we were selling it to people who didn't make it able to print it.
Yeah.
So everyone should have their copies by now, unless there's any delays with the post. And then it'll go on the Etsy shop. What day is it? Sunday today. So, you know, tomorrow maybe if I can drag, if my carcass will come out of bed. But yeah, we'll get it up on the online store. But Twitter is the main place to find us. You can get all the links from there.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vincent.
And I'm probably going to be talking to you for the rest of the day. So
absolutely.
This is a bit weird doing it like this.
But we're doing this without swearing, which is weird.
And it's amazing. Yeah. And what you're not seeing, folks, is we've spent the past couple of days just making each other laugh with theme tunes, stupid jokes, or inappropriate comments that will always be off the
Man,
record.
Man, I feel like a woman.
Don't get me started. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, I'm here with a new voice to the podcast. I say new voice, but we've spoken about his work many times. I'm here with Martin Simpsons. Simo, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Simo, that's how you find him at the convention circuit. And if you don't know the name, then you'll know Needle Man, because it's a favourite of a lot of people, I think. For those who don't know about Needle Man, which is your first sort of... I've seen your work in anthologies, but it's your first proper book.
Yeah, it's the first long-form bit of comics I've done. Yeah, I've done some little shorts before, and yeah. I did a little Kickstarter that collected lots of short stories called Misk, which I've sold out of, I don't have any more of them. Yeah. That was a few years ago.
Yeah. I remember seeing you in the British Showcase anthology. Was it a Santa Claus story? I can't remember. It a homeless man?
It's like a homeless. He's there. There's a little print there, yeah. It was like a sci-fi Santa almost, but not. It was a homeless man who basically is imagining he's in this sort of dystopian world, and it turns out he's homeless, basically, it's all in his mind, yeah.
But Needle Man's like a proper story. Now, what's Needle Man about?
What is Needle Man about? Imagine a world.
I hope you know.
Imagine a world, Vince. A dystopian world where 99% of everyone is basically the workforce. They're the working class. And you have the 1%ers that are the ruling class. And as everyone here has been saying, London, basically. So, and in this world, you have the enforcers of this world, if you like, are known or nicknamed as the Needlemen. And they're basically the people that make sure the working class are kept in order. And if anyone leaves their workplace when they shouldn't, because everyone's on endless shifts, then there to bring them back or destroy them or eliminate them or whatever. Yeah. And the Needleman is about one particular Needleman who is on a case to find a woman who's gone missing, basically, from her workplace. And when he finds her, there's a big twist and a stranger.
Things get complicated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really great at doing that.
Is that all right?
Yeah, that's good. I'm terrible at describing things, I tell you.
Really? It told me exactly what, and the listeners exactly what we need to know. I mean, it's also one of those books that, because of the nature of your work, as soon as you see it, you know, because you're fully painted, aren't you? Are you digital or are you traditional?
No, digital. Yeah, I paint in Photoshop, completely in Photoshop now. I mean, I do now anyway, using a Wacom tablet. Yeah. I don't use a Cintiq. I prefer using a Wacom tablet and doing it on the screen.
Your work's like really quite hyper detailed. Like Needleman himself, it's just
covered in wrinkles.
He's covered in wrinkles. Yeah. I mean, was he a sort of idea that you had for ages? You know, that visual. That
Yeah. In fact, I was going to do a book for Titan called Crickalick, and for ages and ages and ages, I was working with him on that, and then it fell through because they ended up going to do more licensed stuff, and a lot of the creator-owned projects fell through. And he basically, the main character looks the same. Yeah. That sort of long, thin-faced sort of guy.
Sort of stuck with you and you. Yeah.
And when I look through my sketchbook, I keep seeing this same face. So yeah. I decided to go with that. You know, it's something about, for some reason, I keep drawing this face.
Yeah.
So
it haunts your dreams.
It haunts my dreams. Yeah. I can't sleep at night. Help me.
You're sharing your nightmares and we love it. Because the book itself, how many pages is the book now?
Works to about just shy of 40.
Yeah. So it's a decent size.
It is, This version has extra, I added extra pages and stuff, so I can never quite remember,
Yeah, proper good value for money. And also you've got some fantastic sort of prints. Now, they're not just like your standard prints. I can never pronounce how you say it.
It's just G-clay. A G-clay print. G-clay. All it is just like a wet ink version of printing. So that when you print them, it looks sort of like the painted... And I go for a matte finish.
It's got a canvasy sort of look.
It's just like a really high quality print.
Yeah. And I see one in front of me now that is this new Viking type character story.
Oh yeah, I can plug that.
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, seeing it, I mean, you released the image and everyone was like, Jesus Christ, this looks amazing. But what is that's about? Because obviously that probably won't be released until the new year, 2020.
Right. It's early, hoping for first quarter of next year. I'm hoping to kickstart it as well, because I've only ever done one Kickstarter before, and I'd like to do another and people do ask me, the people that funded my last book are always asking me when's the next project. So I'd quite like to self-publish this one rather than perhaps go through standard ways.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, it's called Nord, and it's sort of it's almost like a picture book more than it is a graphic novel. It's sort of part picture book, part graphic novel. It's basically very minimal. It's not about character or story. It's about a sort of dead Viking warrior, essentially, wandering through an afterlife, trying to find a place to find to rest, if you see.
Nice,
so he arrives on a flaming boat, on fire, and he gets off.
Oh my God, already,
He gets off.
You had me at hello.
He gets off the boat on fire and proceeds to wander through this strange, dead, sort of spooky landscape, going across fields, up into mountains, up to the top of a mountain, and then it comes to some sort of conclusion.
So you're giving yourself, I mean, it's quite different from Needleman in terms of, Needleman's a very sort of industrial,
Needleman's very, a lot of technical stuff and a lot of character and plot, and I wanted to do something that was really just clear, just a bit, you know, just simpler, more open and a bit more, allow for a really slow pace of storytelling rather than having to do lots of technical
stuff.
And
working in things like natural beauty rather than like...
Exactly, landscape, much more natural things, not buildings and... Because obviously this stuff's a nightmare to draw.
And also you've got light coming through windows and all that stuff.
Although there are plans with Soren Penguin to carry on Needleman as well, to expand on it and turn it into a full-length graphic novel as well. So
I mean, seeing the two characters like on your table, like they look brilliant side by side.
I'm trying to colour coordinate it slightly.
It looks really good. Like if you see it, seriously, folks, if you see him at a convention, check out the table. It's worth every penny. All of this stuff, we love your work. But I thought I'd finally get you on the show. A little taster for when you.
It'd be weird when I listen and this appears. I'm like, oh God,
skip that bit. That's what the people normally do. But you can't get away from it now. I've got you. You're on record. No. But for those people who want like more of your comics and like find you and stuff, where can people find you?
Do you know the best place is probably just martinsillustration.com. So it's martinsillustration, all one word, .com. And you can get, my Twitter and Instagram and all the various things are all there from that website. So that's the best place to go.
Nice. So there you go. Go forth and get it. And thanks very much, dude.
Thank you very much.
Okay, folks, I am here at MCM. Well, I've been at MCM for the past couple of days, as you know, with Asa and Kat of Tales of Mystery. Hello, guys.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
New voices to the pod.
Yes.
Your table looks lovely. The books look lovely.
Thank you very much.
Have you had a fun weekend?
Yeah, it's been good. Yeah, good experience to come down and see everyone. So
And it is an experience, isn't it? Is this your first MCM?
No.
Third London one.
Yeah.
We did a Birmingham one, which got destroyed by snow.
God.
But other than that, it was good. But yeah, so we've done London before.
Yeah. So you've experienced this madness before.
Yes.
Yeah. Saturday is something else here.
Yeah, it was a bit, yeah. But it's been a fun weekend. But for those that don't know about Tales of Mystery, because I've seen you on the con circuit for a little while now, what is it about, basically? Who wants to go first? It's like they both want to jump in. Right. Who wants to go first?
All right, I'll do it. So, Tales of Mystery is a noir mystery story about a private detective that gets trapped in the body of a black cat. It's going to be a four-issue series. We've got issues 1 and 2 out at the moment, and I am currently working on writing the script for issue 3, and then Kat will work on the illustrations once I'm eventually done.
Eventually done. Well, I mean, comics take time, don't they? But have you found, putting this comic out and like the process so far?
Really good actually. So the first MCM that we did last year was we only had issue 1, and it's been really good, like working on it and then getting issue 2 out, and had a fairly positive response to everything, and people seem to like it. We've had some people come back this week.
Oh, that's the good thing when you get return customers and stuff. Yeah. So I mean, obviously, Kat, you had me at hello. I'm a cat person, but. What's it actually like drawing cats like all the time? Because they're pretty difficult to draw, aren't they?
Well, the condition of me doing the comic was that it had an animal in it, because I feel like animals are like my
better than people.
Animals are definitely better than people. Yeah. So with a cat in it, it was right up my street for drawing, and just getting like character into him as well, because he's quite disgruntled in the fact that he's turned into a cat.
Yeah.
So
And cats don't give anything away.
No, they don't. That's the problem, yeah.
You can't tell what they're thinking, so they actually sort of emote through that.
Yeah, but it's been a good challenge. I've enjoyed it.
So, and it's four issues. Are you going to look to collect it in the end, or are you just...
Probably, but I think we're going to focus on doing the four of their own first and then maybe collect it with some extra stuff.
What made you... I mean, obviously, it's like a mystery noir. Is that sort of the sort of stuff you love? Or was it just a story... You know, some people like superheroes and then all of a sudden they tell a horror story because it's just the story they have to tell. Or has pulp always been what you love?
No, I love noir stuff. Yeah. I super love noir stuff. But I like doing stuff that's like, is this one thing, but weirder? It's like, it's a noir story, but it's actually about a cat. And stuff like that. So I love traditional noir. And maybe I'll write traditional noir one day. But I like... to write untraditional kind of stuff.
But what's that like for you? I mean, I'm guessing you're maybe not from a noir sort of lover. Is it a sort of genre that you've had to sort of learn more about?
I'd say a lot of my stuff is sort of cute, cartoony. So it's been a good challenge for me to do something completely different and not necessarily having a noir following in my upbringing. Yeah. It's been quite good to see other comics and sort of get the genre going, really.
Have you found that you're a bigger fan of it now than you were when you started?
Yeah, definitely. And just comics in general. Like, Ace has just opened my eyes to comics being more than sort of your Marvel superheroes, which is very nice. Yeah.
Especially when you look around at a show like this, it's just stuff everywhere, isn't it?
The amount of like cool creators, and when you get that few moments to actually go around and look for yourself, it's nice to go chat to people, but then also to pick up stuff that you might not see anywhere else.
So if people want to like check out the book and like get issues and stuff, or follow you online, where can people find you?
Well, my stuff is all my website is asawheatley.com, so it's ASA.
I was about to pronounce your name and you gave me a look like, is he going to mess it up?
No, but you did well, it was great. Very few people do, so you know, it's alright. You can buy the books from there. All my social media stuff, I am in my very strange and unique name. I am able to have everything as very simply as just my name. So all my social media stuff is just Asa Wheatley as well.
Yeah. What about you, Kat?
So all of my stuff is at anidoodle.com, so it's A-N-I doodle. Otherwise, that's my handle as well on Twitter and various things. So you can find me there.
Awesome. So go follow them and check out the book. And look forward to issue 3. When is issue 3, do you think? New year? 2020?
Definitely 2020. I've said it now, so cats have to do it.
The look on her face.
I know. I think definitely 2020. But once MCM is over, then I'll get back to writing.
And you've got a couple of shows later in the year as well, haven't you? You've got a couple more?
Yes, so we're going to be at Leamington in October. I think it's 5th of October. That's the one there, definitely. And then we're looking at a couple of others, but not confirmed as of yet.
Awesome. So look for you there. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Right, I'm here with an artist that... it's kind of exploded. I want to say exploded onto the scene, but you've probably been around for quite some time. It's our final Halloween, isn't it? Or is it our last?
Our final Halloween.
I want to make sure I got that right. but Mike Lee Graham, hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going good. It's been a good weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen you constantly drawing. You're an artist who's constantly on the go.
It's been a good weekend. Saturday was a bit slow, but I got so many commissions on my plate on Friday that it was okay.
Because your work, what I love about your work is, especially colour palette, you're doing prints, like, I want to say neon, you know, there's bright greens, bright magentas.
Yeah, of course.
Like
I do. I need to get into doing some screen printing where I can actually use fluorescent colours. I'm kind of beholden to like the CMYK colour palette currently because most of my stuff is digital. But I mean, next year I'd really love to do some screen prints with some proper vibrant colours.
You're a huge horror fan, so a man after my own heart.
Great.
And also you've been busting out some. There was a Godzilla.
Oh, yeah, that's done, I mean, I remember posting that on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, and people seem to really, really like it. A lot of people have been asking me for prints for it. Unfortunately, it was attached to a competition, like an open brief, so there's not a lot I can do with it currently, unless I get permission, but the plan is to try and get prints of that down the line.
Are you someone who, like, in terms of, like, doing artwork and prints like that, it's more about the cinematic like Godzilla's and the famous, the John Carpenter films.
Yes.
That's more appealing to you than...
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, obviously I do comics and things like that, but in terms of like things I'm really, really passionate about, it's storytelling, and some of my favourite stories are from films as well. Yeah, and I love horror, especially.
I mean, our final Halloween's like, it's just got the love of horror written all over it, hasn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
For those out there, those heathens who don't know about it yet, what's our final Halloween actually sort of about?
Okay, cool. I'm getting better at doing the spiel for this. So five teenage friends open up in a house with absolutely no memory of how they got there. They're in a room covered in blood. They're covered in blood. At the epicenter of this room is a strange sigil, and they need to figure out how the hell they got in there, what the hell they were doing there, and how to stop whatever the bloody heck is going on.
Yeah. It's a very cinematic kind of setup, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I really like stories which basically just drop you in the middle of a problem, you're catching up with the characters. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're learning as the characters.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
What's been the most fun? I mean, you can tell you're having fun with the book, but what's been the most fun thing to draw with that project?
Oh, gosh. Anything where Mike gives me an opportunity to do a kind of a gore money shot. It's just
gets an arm ripped
exactly
off,
like, you know, somebody explodes, you know, someone's innards come out, and it's just like, great, leave it to me. Those are the best ones,
really, because like some artists, I mean, certainly it's like, oh well, this person gets disemboweled, which sounds awesome on the page, but if you want to get it anatomically correct, that can be a challenge.
It can be, yeah. Luckily, I play it pretty loose with anatomical correctness. I've drawn a character, and I don't think we have that many guts in us. a lot of stuff that I draw, it's for effect. I mean, you know, why constrain myself to realism?
Yeah. So, what apart from our final Halloween, what other projects are you working on or you got in the pipeline?
Oh, I'm constantly doing commissions for people and things like that. I did some A3 commissions for a colleague of mine recently, and I got to do some like Final Fantasy and Metal Gear Solid commissions, which I was over the moon with. I was really...
So you're a big gamer, is it?
Yeah, huge. After our final Halloween, I've actually started writing my own script for a horror comic as well. I'd really like to just sort of see what I can do in terms of storytelling. Very, very loose story.
Do you find that, like, working with Mike Garley, who's obviously been making comics for quite some time now, do you find that you're taking learnings from reading his script?
Oh, enormously. Yeah. I've always liked the idea of like telling my own stories as well. And working with Mike has been absolutely fantastic. He's great to like bounce ideas off of. Yeah. He's incredibly. We're almost the same age as each other, but he's like a very nurturing figure in my life. He's been great. He's always offering advice.
I love this because it makes him sound like an old man.
I know. It sounds like it sounds like I'm saying that like he's Mike raised me and. He's been great, a great father figure. He's got such a really solid understanding of like when he's writing something, exactly how much space can be allowed for what I'm doing and things like that. Like, I don't think there's ever been an occasion where I've had to go back to Mike and say, listen, I think you've given me too much to do for this one page. It's like too much to juggle. So
really?
He's got an innate understanding of what can and can't be done on the page, which is great.
And also, like, having confidence in the artist, it's like, well, I've... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's working with you on this particular project because he wants you to...
Exactly, and I think it's just a testament to how talented Mike is that he works with so many different artists as well, and I just only hear good things about working with him.
Yeah.
You know, my own experience has been great as well.
Yeah. I don't think he can hear this.
Good, all right.
Thank God, because we don't want to give him a big head.
Send help.
So your own work then, are you looking to do that maybe like next year, release it?
Yeah, I think so. I think Mike and I should be finished on this kind of by the end of this year.
Is it a two-part to our final Halloween? Right. Well, I mean, when I first saw it, I thought, oh, it's just a one-shot, but then the way things end.
Yes.
No spoilers, folks, but read on.
There's there's a lot more story to tell.
It's like the Marvel Cinematic Universe lawyers are looking over, ready for you to spoil it, and they'll kill you.
Exactly.
Yeah, but until then, like, you're doing commissions and prints. Your Instagram is one of my favourite Instagrams,
cheers,
yeah.
So much,
I mean, I remember, I think, was it Inktober you did like a horror thing?
Yes. I'm probably going to do horror again for Inktober this year. This year I'm going to be doing just like totally original stuff. So I'm not beholden to any kind of rules about what I can and can't print and what I can and can't sell. So I'll definitely be doing a booklet next year after Inktober.
Amazing. So if people want to see more of your artwork and, like, you know, follow on, where can people find your work?
I'm on pretty much everything's the same through social media to the name of my website. It's just simply Mike Lee Graham, no hyphens, no spaces. And, I'm on Instagram, on Twitter, and my website. I update pretty regularly. I'm always posting new work, and I've been meaning to do more kind of personal stuff, like putting myself out there a bit more, talking about the process and how I work and things like that.
But well, we'll be talking more in the future, my friend.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
You heard it here first, folks. You heard it here first. He's heard it here first because he had no idea I was going to say that. But seriously, I mean, we're big fans of your work, and like, you just sort of appeared out of nowhere, and I think it's only, you know, this episode's going to be quite special because you're probably going to be too big to talk to us in a couple of years.
Sure. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Thanks very much, Matt.
Oh, cheers, mate. Thanks so much.
So it had to happen at some point. You've heard the name many times. I'm surprised we haven't talked to him actually at a show before. But I'm here with Charles H. Raymond. Hello, sir.
Hello. How are you?
Well, we've had a conversation for 10 minutes. So you know exactly how I am. Yes, it's been a good MCM, hasn't it? It's been tiring. You've had a cracker.
The thing is, I'm used to doing Birmingham, which is 2 days.
Yeah.
So this extra day, I'm quite tired now.
Yeah.
But it's been
good. He took a swig of energy drink before we started this, folks.
I need to prepare myself.
Yeah. But what you've got on your table, which I know you've been posting it online, but as well as your books, which we'll talk about in a minute, but you've been doing like commissions with a difference. Now, what do you do at your table?
Okay, so I'll sort of talk where this came from.
Yeah.
So my first con was Birmingham MEC, and I was just like, okay, I'll do commissions, and nobody wanted one, and it felt as though it was like too broad of a subject by making them decide. So I sort of sat down and thought about like, what can I do, and I decided to make up my own Pokemon, which I call Fakemon. And it's up to them to decide what animal and what like Pokemon type they want, and I'll make it up for them. And it seems to, especially, it's the right crowd for it,
at
cons. It's gone very, very well.
And Pokemon has certainly, it's never been unpopular, but it's got a resurgence.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You'll find whenever there's like a new game coming out, or even like we just had the movie and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's probably the most popular it's been in a very long time.
They get a one of a kind, sort of their own Fakemon sort of commission, really.
Yeah, and so far, no one's been unhappy.
So you've been doing well on them, but you were just telling me that the books have done well today.
Definitely today, yeah. So I think it was last night, one of the guys came out and said that Sunday tends to be a bit better for comic books.
Yeah.
And so far, that's definitely been the case. It's been a lot more relaxed, and I feel as though that a lot more of the punters have been happy to stand and actually talk to you about your comic, and then you can actually sell it.
What's been the ones that have been doing well? Is it Death Inc?
Death Inc's been the most popular, but that's like the meatiest one. It's the one I can talk most about. I find like with the short ones, people may pick up, read it, and put it down.
Yeah.
Bit of a library, but hey.
Yeah. So what's Death, for those who don't know, what's Death Inc about?
Okay, so essentially it's the Grim Reaper has been over in... Sorry, I lost it.
You're nervous, you're around me. I can understand. Yeah, I'm a Hollywood star, darling.
So the idea is the Grim Reaper's been inundated with the job of bringing people to the afterlife. He's had to create housing for everyone. He's had to create jobs for these people. And in the end, he's created this society that is very similar to our own. He's hired people to do his own job for him. And there's this. It starts off with this guy called Stan, and he's alive. He's working his dead-end job and hates his life. He decides to make a massive change and quits his job, and as soon as he walks out of his office building, he's hit by a bus. He's then brought to the afterlife.
He's not having a good time then.
No. Especially then he's brought to the afterlife. He's then given a new job. He's given housing. And he finds himself exactly where he was. So, I mean, I call it a slice of death story.
Yeah, great.
with this like mystery, some comedy thrown in, and it's just kind of like having a look of how we live our lives, but from the death side of things.
And you've got two trades out of this as
I
well.
I do.
Yeah. It's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, 2 years of work they are. And then there'll be the third one out this year as well.
Amazing. So when will you be launching that one?
Hopefully in November.
Are we talking a bubble?
No, we're talking MCM Birmingham.
Yes. Oh,
unfortunately, right. I did not get into Thought Bubble this year.
Oh, shame.
Well, whatever.
Yeah. Whatevs.
Yeah.
They're lost. No, that's cool, though. I mean, it's definitely got a following as well, definitely.
It's starting to now.
Found people like picked up the first one and come back for the second?
Yes. Yeah. What was it? When I launched the second one last year, I had someone come along and say they loved the first one and they were hoping.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. So what else have you got? I mean, you've got like books like Chlorophyll, Swine Fever. You know, is it so as well as Death Inc., you've got other projects that you like working on. Is there anything else bubbling in the pipeline that you can say?
After Death Inc. book 3, there's one I've been kind of travelling the country doing research for, and that's been going to iconic gig venues and iconic pubs and things like that. So, for example, I've been to Nottingham and I went to a pub called the Pit and Pendulum, which is like goth-themed. And there's a metal themed one in Birmingham, and when I went up to Scotland to do Dunfermline, I went to this bar which used to be veterinary surgery, and they've got like all the paraphernalia and like the surgical table is where you have your drinks and stuff like that. And it's going to be a story about a band, like we're following a band on a tour, and I wanted like the locations to be characters in themselves. And that's all I'm going to say at the moment.
So stay tuned.
Yes, that will be a next year project though.
Well, when we have him on the show proper, which is going to happen, folks, we'll prize more information out of him. But for those who like want to get hold of your books and like see more of your art, like the Fakemon and stuff, where can people find you online, etc.?
Okay, so I mean, I'm mostly active on Twitter, and that's at @not_soap_tiny. Then Instagram, notsotinycomics. And then my website is www.notsotiny.co.uk.
Blimey.
Yes.
Nice.
Well, remembered everything.
Well done. Yeah. I'm so proud of you. That energy drinks are good for something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cheers, man.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that, folks. Yes, I know we didn't get to speak to Tony properly at the show. But that's because he had, trust me, he had his hands full whilst he was manning the no-brow table. So look forward to his report from that side of the, like, basically the trader side of the tables next week as well. So there's plenty of different views we're going to get, and we're probably going to put a shout out to sort of get opinions and stuff. But but fear not, because we do have a bit more for you this week. I would have liked to try and get some more interviews, but MCM is quite full on, and you know, getting away from your table, you're always constantly aware of you being away and you could potentially miss a sale, etc. So maybe next time. I think one time I might go as a sort of like visitor, just with a microphone, just to really threateningly jam a microphone in people's faces and just scare them to death. But but that's for another time. That's another story for another time. But this week we've got more for you, because yes, we didn't have Tony there, but he's never far away, which I know is a absolutely terrifying prospect. But as Tony talked about last week on the show, he was at NCS Festival in Huntington Beach in Cali, taking in the sun. You know, not only was he living the life, but he was doing what he loves most and spending time with amazing comic creators and some absolute legends. But while he was there, he bagged us a couple of fantastic interviews too. So we thought we'd package that together with the audio we've got. So, you know, so sit back, put your feet up, and enjoy this second batch of shop floor interviews, but this time from NCS Fest 2019.
I am here with, we're in California. Look at us. Isn't it? Look.
Sun's coming out,
it is. It's been raining all day, but yeah. I'm here in California at the NCS Festival. And just so happens in the same town lives AJ Dungo, the creator of In Waves, one of my favourite books for fucking years, to be fair. You can swear as well. So fortunately you come down to join us, and just a little bit about, is this your first graphic novel, AJ? Yeah, how did it come about, man?
So it started with, I guess, at Art Center. There was I was graduating, and I took a study abroad class. And they say study abroad, but it's really just like a 2-week vacation with like teachers holding your hand and like introducing you to people in the industry, like people like Nobrow, people like Mother Ad Agency, Moth Animation, just all different types of artistic and creative industries.
So you're in the UK for that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So that whole class was dedicated to one project, and that project was to encapsulate California to a foreigner, whatever aspect of California. So I picked surfing, obviously, and my teachers gave me a bunch of different ideas of who to write it on, and Tom Blake was the person I did my book on, or my package on. So it was basically like this deliverable is like a...
So who we don't know, Blake is he's a big name in surfing.
He's big, but he's pretty unknown.
Like
historians know about him, like old school surfers know about him, but I'm not too sure if the new generation of surfers really is aware.
So he kind of brought it into the modern age, essentially, is that right?
He did.
Yeah.
He did. He was kind of the... He introduced all the major advancements to surfing that would be built on to create the sport that is today. Like, he was just an innovator. And it wasn't just surfing. He also did, like, life rescue stuff. Which I think he mentioned in a book was his proudest accomplishment because of all the lives he saved.
Okay.
And they still use it to this day, like the life ring.
Right,
did that.
Okay. Yeah.
Paddleboard did
that.
But back to how the book came is I made these silkscreen boxes, and in them were like silkscreen posters, risograph prints, a little zine I did about Tom Blake. And the person I was most excited to show this to was Nobrow. So we had a meeting with Sam, and they were just about to move from Shoreditch to a different location.
London Fields, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like the office was in like, you know, it had been built up to be like, oh man, this is gonna be, you know, this beautiful space with like all these beautiful books, and it was just like, it wasn't a shithole, but it was in shambles because they're moving everything. There's trash everywhere. It smelled like mold.
It was a bit in the basement, wasn't it? In Shoreditch,
yes, yes.
Then you wouldn't believe it. The price of offices in that area, yeah,
sure.
It's the cool place,
right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I presented to Sam, and then my teacher pulled me aside afterwards and was like, "That went really well. You should expect a call or an email."
Nice. Brilliant.
And then I was like, "That's really nice, but you know, I'm not going to put stock in it. It's a nice thing to hear."
Yeah.
Then I got back home, and I got an email from Sam saying he wanted to make a book.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, it changed, didn't it? From what you... Well, it changed, but there's more to it than what you just said.
Sure.
Because you intertwine... It's really interesting to me, because you intertwine the history of surfing, which, to be fair, a boy from West London has got no interest in surfing.
Sure.
God bless you, but... You know what I mean? But the part that I really found interesting is you intertwine it with a relationship you had,
yeah.
And you parallel the history with that relationship. Is that right?
Yeah.
With no spoilers.
No spoilers. Yeah. So that happened because... I guess Snowbro hadn't done a book about surfing or historical figures, and they thought maybe like a picture book or some sort of reference book would be fun with like historical figures from North America in surfing. And they're like, he's like, go for that, like do research. I came back with my findings, and he was like, he wasn't too jazzed about the idea anymore. He wanted like a more personal touch. He wanted to know why I was into surfing. Like he was digging deeper, and... shortly before that, my partner had passed away from cancer, and I just started telling him about that, and that was pretty much, she's the one who got me into surfing, her family's super into it, and so then I told him that, and he was like, oh my god, you should write a book about that, and you know, I was a little bit, I had my reservations about it, because it was so recent, and I didn't know if it was like the right time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because it must have been quite raw at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it can only have been a few years ago, presumably, was it?
Right.
Yeah.
It was. So I graduated 2016. She passed away the February of that year.
Wow, okay.
And then Sam hit me up in July to start the book. So it was, like, very raw.
Yeah.
But
it's a great tribute to her, man. You know, it's amazing, yeah. And one of the bits I really loved was the when you meet her.
Yeah, yeah.
And the stuff in the driveway after that. And it's like really touching, really well made.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, you know, so many things about our relationship seemed cinematic or seemed like movie-like. But that's how it happened. You know, and she'd always tell me, like, you should write about this one day. Write about this one day.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. That's lovely. Yeah.
Because I had done short comics about her when I was in school. There would be assignments that were like, do like an editorial where you write some sort of journal entry, and then you, and she was always like the most important subject, the most like interesting subject in my life, and you know,
yeah.
So obviously, I wrote about her all the time, and she loved what I made.
Oh, great!
So I made like maybe like 2 or 3 comics, and she was like, "You should just make a book."
Yeah.
And then I was just like, "Yeah, one day."
What I really liked about it as well is the. I suppose when you're out on a board, it's quite a lonely, quiet, not lonely, maybe just quiet and, you know, meditative sort of thing, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
And the way you did that, because you don't overuse words. You know, there's a lot of silent pages and where you're sitting on a board and stuff like that. Really, really beautiful. Yeah.
So, honestly, like, I started the book with a huge script. It was just like...
Right.
It was just like so much. And I would just whittle down. It was just like a slab of marble, and I was just like... hacking away at it till it was just, you know, something lean and as eloquent as I could make it. But there are moments in the book where there was text riddled all over it, and then the second I took it out, like, there's instantly space. There's time for the reader to, like, breathe and, like, reflect. But it also, that is true. Like, when I'm out in the water, I think about that. It's my time to kind of reassess I guess some people call it meditation.
Yeah.
And I would agree with that. Like, it's very calming. And especially when you're alone. And it's also nice when you're with your friends, too.
But that quiet moment really comes across. So I absolutely love that moment of it. And the way you depict the waves as well, I found interesting.
Yeah,
so there's a swirling effect to use, isn't there? Yeah.
There's a graffiti artist named Sharktooth.
Okay.
And all he does is draw sharks.
Right.
And my old roommate used to call me Wave Tooth, because all I do is draw waves. I just have, like, photos and photos and photos, tons of reference photos of water. But, yeah, I mean, like, the lattice work and line work that I do, it's something I've carried on since before I knew I wanted to make art for a living, you know? Before art school, I would always just, like, do these, I was very interested in intricate line work and... You know, I love Charles Burns, and
yes, I get that, definitely.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of anyone that's like masterful with a Winsor Newton Series 7 brush. You know, like anyone that can, you know, that's definitely what I was going for. I also love like Yukioi prints, woodblock prints. I would always look at printmaking. Printmaking was kind of my first love, so I kind of carry that in everything I draw.
Yeah. I think it fits really well into the no-brow, because are you aware of John McNaught's work as well?
Yes.
Very. What Kingdom? It's amazing.
Amazing.
Yes. But I put your book similar. There's that quality, that quiet, almost like a Rizzo print type stuff, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, man, Kingdom. The process pages for that are insane. Because, you know.
He's a crazy person. Yeah.
You kind of have to be. But it's beautiful. And I like, yeah, I think that also aligns with no-brow, too, because they hold traditional printing in such high regard, and they just have...
Yeah, traditional books and paper books and stuff like that. Yeah, definitely,
The whole process I'm in love with. I think I fit in well with them, but...
Yeah, I think so, man, yeah.
Yeah, I love that I can be in the same vein as these other artists, and honestly, it's all such a trip. Like, at TCAF, I was
going to ask about that.
Yes.
So, you launched at TCAF, yeah?
So, there was...
There was sort of a staggered launch almost, wasn't there? Yeah.
So, I mean, I went to Austin, but that was like a librarian conference.
Okay.
So it was like nothing but like...
They're crazy, those librarians.
No, apparently, I've heard they party, like for real. But that was kind of like, you know, it's not... It was more like very educational. It was like trying to get into public libraries. And it was very... I learned a lot. But it wasn't like an artsy, like hip comic thing until I went to TCAF. And that was like, my head exploded, you know, like... I just saw, like, Jillian Tamaki walking around. I met Chester Brown.
Oh, brilliant,
Just so many legends. And like I was on Jess's work. Amazing. Yeah, yeah. He was actually sitting at a panel I was doing, just watching, and I was like, fuck, there's so much pressure right now. But then I had another panel later that day, and like Bill Griffith was on there, T-Pex was on there, so many like heavy hitters, and it's so weird to be like sitting at the same table.
How was the reception? Did you enjoy the reception for the book, or did it go well?
It was amazing. There was an amazing moment where someone came to my table and was like, yeah, I bought this book because I had lunch with Craig Thompson, and he said like, I asked him what I should be reading, and he said, I just finished In Waves by A.J. Dungo. You're like, you should read that. Like, I loved it. And I was like, god damn.
Say that again, I'll record it.
Yeah, I mean, it was nuts. And apparently, like, he was tabling right next to me, and then I got to meet him, and that was a magical moment as well, and very surreal. Like, he pulled out his camera and wanted a picture with me, and I was like, what is happening right now?
Great stuff.
So, yeah, I mean, every moment at TCAP was like that.
That's amazing, man. That's really good. So has it sort of inspired you to do another long-form one, or are you going to keep it shorter? Because that's a brick of a book.
It didn't start that way.
Right, okay.
I mean, like we said earlier, it was just supposed to be like an 80-page reference book about surf figures.
Yeah.
And then, like, the more that I wrote, the more that Sam wanted me to write about, telling more about my story, telling more about the surf history story.
But to me, and I really did find the surfing history interesting.
Right.
But to me, that's what lifts it above the line for me. That's what makes it a great book.
Awesome.
Is the fact that it's a personal thing as well.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And I think that was kind of a life goal of mine, was to write about Kristen and memorialize her. And it's kind of a love letter, my last love letter to her. And
That's a great. You know what you're saying.
Yeah.
You would get better than that. You know what I mean? You must be, but, you know, he looks down on you. That's all she needs, isn't it, really?
Thank you, Tony. Thank you. I mean, but in terms of what I'm interested in doing next, definitely. I mean, I've been thinking about what's next. I have a niece that's 5 years old, and she loves picture books, and I was thinking how great it would be to make a picture book for her. But, I think I just need some time to live as well, you know, because... Yeah.
Well, to be fair, the promotion trail takes up a lot of your time now, doesn't
it?
Sure.
You know? Yeah, yeah. That, you know... That's been, so I was working full time as a shoe designer, and then I quit a month before to just like finish the book and then open up my schedule for touring, because it's been nonstop. I went to Austin, I went to Toronto, I'm going to Paris next.
Oh, are you?
And then London for LCAF.
Oh, well, see you.
Okay. Yeah. Are you going to be awesome? Yeah. I'll see you again.
Boozy. Be careful. There's a lot of beer drunk at LCAF. I think they had their own beer last year.
Do they really? Yeah. Dang. Awesome. Dang, it's no brewery now.
Kind of. But it's a great scene, man. You'll have that LCAP. It's really inspiring. It's
awesome.
The one convention you go to all year, you think, well, I want to go back to my hotel room and actually, you know, do some creative stuff.
Yes.
Really great. Yeah.
Nice.
Not like MCM.
And then the next one, I've been working with this great guy named Randy Hild. He used to be the senior vice president of Quiksilver and Roxy.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And he just hit me up on Instagram, and we've been buddies ever since. And he's been pitching, like, No Brow obviously has a huge reach with the literary community.
Yeah.
And he's been, like, hooking it up with the surf community. Like, kind of being the bridge.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, like, surf shops are now interested, and, like, different surf companies are backing the book. And they might send me to Hawaii.
I mean,
crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to Jeffrey Brown about this yesterday. That he's gone from doing autobiographical comics to doing Star Wars comics, you know, Darth Vader and Son, and that has opened up the market. You know, that extra little avenue is what really gets the sales. You know,
right. I mean, that's something I'm realizing now is, you know, not that you should be a niche thing, but you should, like, I think your interests can expand your market, I guess. You know, obviously I didn't go into this book thinking that, but it's definitely opened so many doors, meeting so many people.
That's brilliant, man. Thanks for that. Where can people find you, and where can people find the book?
You can find me on Instagram at agedungs, and then my website's ajdungo.com, and I think you can buy the book anywhere, No Brow or Amazon or, you know.
It's available pretty much.
Yeah, anywhere.
Released now, yeah. As long as you've got a strong postman.
For sure. Yeah. I know.
And a big letterbox.
There's a little bit of kerfuffle at TCAF. My family is from Toronto.
Okay.
So they came and cleaned out like the booth, and they started berating like the marketing no-brow people that were working, and they're just like, you should have known better, you should have brought like more. And then obviously 4 boxes of those books are so heavy.
Yeah. I drive around with them in my car all the time. I know what you're saying.
So much. So, you know, don't shoot the messenger. Yeah.
Thanks, man. That's really good. I'm here with Boulay. Yeah. Not,
hi.
Do you use Giles when you're talking, or shall I only refer to you as Boulay?
Okay. I use Boulay. It's easier to say for American people. Usually when I say... my name is Gilles. In French, they are like Giles, Gilles, George, Jay. So I like the British one, Giles. I feel like I'm a character of Buffy.
And also, Giles is a great cartoonist from the great... Have you ever seen the Giles cartoon?
No.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'll send you some.
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, really good. So I noticed that you're out through Soaring Penguin with notes.
Yeah.
And that's been out for a couple of years now, is it? Or...
Yeah.
I know, but I also note that you do your blog in English as well.
Yes.
Now, do you? Why in particular? Is there any reason you see England as a good market for you? Or?
Oh, well, we tried to sell the books with a lot of publishers, but they were all saying, well, it might be too French for us. And Soaring Penguin was the one who was the first to say, oh, yeah, we are doing it.
So John Anderson, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why we worked together. But after a while, it became more complicated to work together because of the distance and because I was not available a lot for like promoting the books. So right now we are like we are taking different path. Let's say.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, right. Good.
And what was the other part of the question? Oh, why did I translate? Well, yeah. English is a really widely spoken language in the world. So I was like, if I want to touch the maximum people, I have to translate my webcomic in Spanish or Chinese or English. There is only one of the three languages I spoke, so I thought, let's go with English.
Cool, yeah. Now, you're kind of the first generation to really take advantage of the webcomic thing. Mm-hmm. You call it a blog in France, don't you?
I never liked the term blog. I prefer the term webcomic now. So I'm usually when I refer to it in France, I say my website. Okay. But yeah, we there was a big wave of blogs in the late 2000, yeah, 207 to 215 maybe was a big wave of the blog. Now it's like settling down, but
yeah. Do you find that there's a translation to sales? So you've obviously got a huge following online.
Yeah.
Does that translate into sales and following in the print form?
No,
not really. Okay.
Not really. It's two different publics, very different publics. So in France, I have like my publics for books, but I am way more followed online for the free stuff, I would say. I guess if everyone who's following me was buying one of my books,
yeah.
I wouldn't be a millionaire, but I would be rich. No, I think, I don't know, for the sales, I would say like... on average, one of my books is sold like 10,000 copies, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm really happy. And I am followed by like 200,000 online. So it's like 1/20th of
it's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. People like free stuff, though, don't they? Yeah.
But I don't blame them. I'm really happy. It's like, what are you doing? She grabbed books and I felt something scratching my leg, and I was like,
I wonder what was going on.
Sorry about that. So yeah.
Have you done the UK conventions? Are you planning to?
Yeah, I've done. I've been in Leeds.
Oh, did you Thought Bubble?
Yes, Thought Bubble, and twice at the Lake Festival in Kendal.
Oh, right, you've done the Lake. So okay.
Yeah.
How did you find it?
Oh, I loved both of them. They were really nice, and I love the UK. One of my brother is living there, so I'm in London very often.
It's a very boozy culture, our comic.
Yeah, but I know I am French, so I'm not supposed to say that. But I love English beer. You know, the ale, it's delicious. The first time I was in Kendal, I asked for a lager, and they were like, "Oh no, mate, we only serve ale." And I was like, "Yeah, give me a shit." And after 2 days, I couldn't drink anything else. I love it.
Yeah, cool. It's here as well, though. Craft beers is a big thing.
Yeah.
So what else can we expect from you in English language? What have you got coming out?
Well, we are starting Dungeon dungeon all over again with Lewis. So luckily, in a few years, you will have a new issue of Dungeons in it, in English. And I participated to the adventure of Infinity 8, which is translated here. So my book is the seventh issue of the series, and I think they already have like six translated. So it should come up really soon.
Is there anything that isn't translated by you that you really think would do well in America or England? Or?
Well, I have one regret about the book I did with Penelope Bagieux. In French, it was La Page Blanche, and in English, it was The Blank Slate. And it's only available online on Comixology.
Okay.
And I like this book. It's probably my bestseller in France. And I regret there is not a hard copy of it.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But, yeah.
And how, are you putting anything out through Europe Comics at the moment? Or you got
Sorry?
Have you got anything coming from Europe Comics? No?
No?
There's any shaking ahead?
No.
Yeah, is that to be talked about later, maybe? Okay.
For my comics? No, I'm right now the main series I'm working on is a sci-fi series, a hardcore sci-fi series called Bolshoi Arena. And it was drawn by a young artist called Asen, and I am writing it. And I just wrote two volumes of 160 pages, and I'm working on the third issue. And this one is selling pretty well in France, so I really hope it will be translated very soon.
Excellent. And where can people find you online if they want to look you up?
If you want to find me online?
Yeah. Oh, where's your website?
Oh, my website is bouletcorp.com, so bouletcorp.com. And if you go to the website, there is an English flag on the top left, and you can access to the English version. The English version is english.bouletcorp.com. And I have an Instagram account called at bouletcorp. And a Twitter account and a Facebook page, facebook.com/bouletcorp. I am everywhere. I have like more websites than Voldemort has Horcruxes, you know. So find me on one of my Horcruxes.
Great, that's brilliant, man. That's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so I'm here with Lewis Trondheim, who I attended the panel with. Is it the day before yesterday with Sergio?
Yes.
You drew. That was brilliant stuff, man. Really enjoyed it. Yeah. Do you Thanks. Enjoy drawing when talking and giving panels and stuff? Or
really, I really enjoy to draw in front of people because I want to show them it's easy to do comics and it's not a fantastic way to express ourselves. You just have to get a pen, to get a paper, and draw a little story, and that's enough.
Okay. Yeah, cool. Which you did it right in front of us. I did find it quite inspiring, and I heard a lot of people talk about the paintbrush you were using with the filled up water. It's not something I'd seen before. Is that?
It's not a real paintbrush. I use a fountain pen with Japanese ink, and it's waterproof. And after, I can use a brush pen with water inside.
Yeah.
And with my watercolor, I can use it and impress young women and then have sex with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to get into drawing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But unfortunately, there were only male in the audience.
Yeah.
So
there was one woman. Yeah, maybe a bit old for us all. You know. The other thing I want to talk to you about is Self-Made Hero. I've just released Maggie Garrison as a collection, which you didn't draw, but you wrote. I know we talked briefly about this yesterday, but we weren't there for yesterday on mic. But why England? Why London?
It was because of the guy who drew the Maggie Garrison, Stéphane Wary, because he spent maybe 2 years of his life living in London, in the Kilburn suburb. I don't know.
Yeah,
yes,
North London. Yeah,
yes,
North London, yeah.
And he wanted to do a story, a crime story, but he didn't know how to write it. So he asked me to write a story. And I said, why not? But I don't know really London. He said, never mind, just write a story and I will find the good place for the character.
Brilliant. So he approached you. You didn't have the idea originally, nothing? Or did you rework something? Or?
No, I have no idea. I've just read a few books of Agatha Christie.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah.
And that's enough.
Yeah. So, I mean, you talked yesterday quite a lot about changing up your style and changing up what you do. Is that something you'd say is a good idea? It keeps you fresh, or?
It's a good idea, but maybe only for me. I need to be. I need challenge. So I need each time I do a new book to have a new challenge. So if it's a crime story, it's okay. If it's science fiction, it's okay. If it's drawing with my left hand, it's okay. Never mind. But I don't want to get bored with comics. I love so much comics. I don't want to get bored.
Which is where you come back to Maggie Garrison, because I asked you if you're doing any more and you just shook your head at me and said no.
No, it's over now. We have done three books, one in English directly, and we don't pretend to do another one. We have done our best now, and it's finished.
Yeah, so your peak, you don't want to drop off and, you know.
Drop off? What?
So you're the peak of what you've done, you don't want to... Yeah.
Yes, I the peak is behind me now. I'm going to die.
Let's hope not. You used a phrase yesterday: just because we're honest doesn't mean we are good. Can I just ask you a bit more about what you meant about that? I understood from what you said, but
It's difficult because when you want to do comics, or maybe just a novel or something, you think you had a bad adventure in your life. You had cancer, no crab. You have crab, you someone is dead in your family, and you think it's a good story to tell, because you were so malheureux, unhappy, upset. You think if you will write it, the audience will feel the same feeling you had before, but it doesn't work this way. You it's not because you are sincere that you will be good. You have to find a way to write a story, to find a distance, not to be too close of the story, because it will be mostly a bad story if you are too close.
I thought you meant because you have an idea doesn't mean you can draw it and carry it out. You need to practice as well, is that?
Yes, it's a real job. It's not just for fun. We are doing comics or we are writing novels. It's a job. We have to learn how to do it.
Maggie Garrison's great, man. I absolutely loved it. It's one of my favourite books for a long time. Are you planning on translating? There's a lot of your work that's not in English. Have you got anything else coming out in English anytime soon?
I really don't know. I'm sorry. I know someone in German.
Right.
But
okay.
Sorry, Andy.
I'm trying to learn French. I can't learn that.
Maybe you can learn German.
And what else are you working on at the moment in French language? Anything else?
In France, yes, because it's my job, so I will do a maximum of comics until I will have 63. Then I will stop.
It was 65 2 days ago. Yeah.
Yes, 2 days, 63.
This weekend bears so heavily on you.
Yes. I don't want to do a shitty work one day, so I prefer to see a shorter...
So it's the equivalent of being a boxer, going out when you've got a perfect run. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Great. Dude, absolute pleasure. I'm a big fan of your work. Love
you. Thank you, and sorry for my stupid English.
No, it's brilliant. It's better than my French.
So there you have it, folks. Hopefully you enjoyed that second batch of interviews. Added some more books to your wish list to pick up at future conventions and more. Hopefully, who knows, maybe some of those creators will be over to England at some point in the future. Hopefully so. Or maybe we'll be able to get them on the show. You never know. Stranger things happen at sea. And before I sign off today, though, I just want to give a shout-out to our weekly sponsors, Comic House. Normally, this is a car crash of a sponsorship ad, but I'm going to try and get through it. Even with, as you can probably tell from my voice, I've been talking for 3 days straight. And anyone who's heard me talk knows that it's pretty much 90% nonsense. So, yeah, but thank you to Comic House. I'm going to struggle through this sponsorship ad. Thank you to Comic House. They're an indie comic marketplace that not only is a great place to sell your books if you self-publish, but they have an amazing digital app to read comics as well, which we use all the time. I think, you know, whenever you're travelling anywhere, I was checking out books on the way, on the travelling to London and stuff, so it's fantastic. So, yeah, there's new content being added there all the time, including plenty of pod favourites. Yeah, what's on there at the moment? Let's see, we've got the Catalyst, Nick Bryan's new book, The Catalyst, which you need to check out soon. We've got The Forest, The Chair, and Those Forsaken There, which is Tony Esmond's favourite comic book title, as you mentioned. You've got Megatomic Battle Rabbit, number 3, The Solitary Divide, The High Priestess, Surrealsville, Comedy and Errors, Gallant and Amos Collected Adventures. I tell you what, that's a lovely printed book as well, Gallant and Amos. Legendary Tailspinners. I'm basically seeing a lot of stuff that I'm looking at this thinking, oh, I really must read that. So once I've probably finished recording this, I'm going to read a few of my purchases from MCM, because I've got some cracking books that I discovered there, which we'll probably hear about next week. But I'll probably check out some of this stuff on Comic House, which you should too. And it's only like subscription service, and it's only £3 a month. You get access to all of that and more. Like, there's loads of Dynamite titles on there as well. So if you like a bit of Ash versus the Army of Darkness and stuff, there's tons out there. There's a 14-day free trial, so go to comichouse.com to check out more. And yeah, thank you very much for listening this week, guys. And you know, the show a little bit different, went up a little bit later because I'm sorry, I had a lay-in this morning. I was absolutely shattered, as I'm sure a lot of people who did the show can agree with. It's a long one, but yeah, what an experience. So glad I went. It was, yeah, you look forward to our report next week. But let us know what you thought of this show and what's been happening. There's several different ways you can do it. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, if you've got any books that are coming out soon or you're going to be releasing, or any indie comic events, small press now that like MCM's sort of out of the way, I think one of the closest thing, I know there's going to be a couple of comic events, but any sort of cons, small day events, let us know on awesomecomicspod@gmail.com, because we will shout about them. Even if we're not there, we'll put the word out about them. And likewise, Small Press Day 2019 is July the 13th, I believe, this year. And yeah, I'll say it again next week, but what I want to do with that this year, I want us to read out however as many Small Press events that are happening. So if you're doing something for Small Press Day, let us know, and we're just going to run off a list and just tell everyone where they can go to check out your books and what you're working at, and just a small press event. There's so much cool stuff happening. So many people are doing it now. It's becoming a bigger and bigger thing. And, you know, we're a small press and indie comics show, so it would be sacrilegious if we didn't shout it out. And, yeah, I may be doing an event in Bath as well, so stay tuned for that. Yeah, so let us know about that. If you can follow us on social media, on Twitter @TheAwesomePod. Thank you to everyone that we met over the weekend and like started following us as well. Any new followers, hello. Welcome to the Thunderdome. If you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. And thank you very much for listening, like week on week, or whether it was just this one and thinking, what the hell is this show? Trust me, it's normally better than just me waffling on. There's other people who actually know what they're talking about with me. So thank you for listening, whether it's on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. You can also listen to us on iTunes, Spotify. There's lots of networks like Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, Pod Esmond. It's not the same when he's not just reading off something in front of him. But yeah, please follow us on Twitter. You can follow me @JesterDiablo on Twitter and Instagram. Find out more about my comic at theredmousefrommars.com. Get into Dan's webcomic Vanguard, which is brilliant. And he's really killing it with the latest issues as well. VanguardComic.com. And on social media, he's @VanguardComic. So follow him there. And Tony Esmond, @EzoYes on Twitter. There's probably a picture of Steven Seagal, so you'll be able to recognise him. And neverironanything.blogspot.co.uk, where he has been he's been doing a month of honest reviews, which has been absolutely brilliant, fascinating, interesting. And he's going to be giving us a full rundown of that, because that just finished. That's just finishing now. Be prepared to hear about that and the ups and downs of that. And yeah, it's been fascinating. So check out that blog, because it's great anyway. Because, you know, Tony may sound like a child sometimes on this show, but I think he's, as a journalist, doing his reviews and stuff, there's no one better, if you ask me. So check that out. Thank you for following us. Have a brilliant week, ongoing week. If you went to MCM, no matter if you were an exhibitor or just visited for the day, get some rest, for God's sake. Put your feet up. You made it. You survived it. I know what it's like now. So, yeah. I hope you all had a great time there. and you got home safe and travelled safe. But now let's just all have a great week, read loads of comics, and from everyone that was at MCM and from all of us here in the ACP, have a brilliant week, read loads of indie comics, and as always, just stay awesome. See ya.